Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds.
Wait a minute. That's not Scott Reynolds.
No, that's not Scott Reynolds. And the other voice you're hearing is...
Who are you?
...is Man Bun. But we have a special guest on this show, Michael Kay. He covers the Jaguars for... Michael, tell us who you cover them for. I've already forgotten.
Well, Mike Kay works for
Michael is what we're going by.
We're
going birth certificate name.
What? Ugh. It's the brand, man. I work for NBC and ABC in Jacksonville. It's First Coast News. I cover the Jaguars.
Lucky you.
Some would say.
Sometimes.
You know what?
Not always. Not yesterday.
No. I'll say this, though. I heard a lot of people. We've been over here in Jacksonville since Monday, or actually since Sunday. Heard a lot of people talk about, you know, the talent on this football team, Mike. And, you know, I said the same thing, though, last year, because the Jags are pretty active in free agency. You know, it looked like maybe Blake Bortles was going to maybe be that quarterback that they expected when they drafted him out of Central Florida. You know, some prize free agent guys on the defense, the draft, Jalen Ramsey. And it didn't pan out.
You just had to throw Jalen Ramsey in there by name, didn't you?
FSU, go Noles. And he's playing better than Fowler. I think we would all agree with that so far, right? Where does Fowler go to school?
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but it didn't pan out. It was bad. Gus Bradley gets fired. And they bring in a guy who, Mike, old school. He had these guys literally running wind sprints like
That was weird.
Youth football guys where they line them up on one sideline.
It was just very different.
Give them a snap count. If they jump all sides, back them up 5 yards. Do it again. Doug Marrone is trying to change the whole attitude and mindset of this football team, it looks like, isn't he?
Yeah, Doug's the anti-Gus. I was here for the second 2 years of Gus's tenure. So they called them the Wonder Years. Doug was the offensive line coach.
Because we wondered what was going on?
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly. Right.
But was Gus not the nicest guy in the world?
Gus was a wonderful person. I always say you meet 10 people in your life that change your views on things. Mm-hmm. Gus is a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
Not a very good head coach.
No.
Didn't really give out a lot of accountability. He... frequently made excuses. You know, they were kind of set up to fail. You know, a rookie owner hires a rookie GM, hires a rookie head coach who takes a defensive system that needed to be altered the second that he left in order for them to win a Super Bowl, hired a Tampa 2 defensive coordinator.
That was in Seattle, by the way, for everybody who
didn't know. Yeah, Seattle, sorry.
He was there before Dan Quinn was there.
Right. So, and did this whole believe in victory thing and getting better every day. For Doug Marrone and for Tom Coughlin.
Sounds like a Tumblr post.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Believe in victory. Shut up.
Marrone,
we're bad.
Marrone believes in winning. And there has been more talk about winning in the last 6 months than in the previous 2 years under Gus Bradley.
Yeah. And you know what? And Trevor, I was here Monday. You came up for Tuesday morning's practice. When the Jaguars,
Future concert was great, by the way.
What is a future, anyway?
What is a future?
How can you go to a future concert? You've already went to the future concert. That makes no sense at all.
That's probably why he's named the way he is. So he just messes with people like you.
That's like, I'm going to get later this week, I'm going to go to a past concert. See, that makes no sense either.
Scott said that to me, and I actually believe, I hate to admit that I actually believed him. Because he said that he was going to a past concert, and he's like, yeah, no, they're like an old rock and roll band. And everybody knows, I don't know anything that happened before the 90s. So I was just like, all right, cool, whatever, Scott. And he's like, no, I'm totally joking with you. I was like, all right, well, cool, big payoff on that joke,
Scott.
He stole
my joke before I did. Yeah. Great. But getting here, I got here as the players, the Buccaneers, and I got stuck in the stadium itself. So I was actually walking through the stadium part, which, you know, I shouldn't have been doing. I'm surprised I didn't get escorted out. But I end up in the Buccaneers locker room, so I walk out with the players. And I'm just saying, body language, all of those things, it was a typical Monday. Oh, great. You know, we had to travel. We're in Jacksonville. blah, blah, blah. It's really hot outside. And you walk out on the field. The Jaguars are already there. They're warmed up. They're ready to go. To me, and again, this is what I wrote in the practice report on Monday. The Jags are third in the state, right? I mean, you got the Buccaneers, the Dolphins. The Dolphins made the playoffs, so let's say they're number one. The Buccaneers up and coming at number two. And then you've got the Jaguars, who are trying to make a name for themselves and win some fans and show that they are part of the NFL and worthy of being in the NFL. So they came out to me, again, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, came out with a chip on their shoulder a little bit more and looked hungrier, especially on Monday. It was more even yesterday on Tuesday, but Monday it appeared that way to me. What about you, Mike? Did you see the same thing?
Yeah, and I would say obviously having that home field advantage of being comfortable in your own area, it's probably going to give you a little bit more of an uptick. Those guys are sick of being considered jokes. Right. There are people that have joined this team that have a history of winning. Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell, A.J. Boye to an extent. Jalen Ramsey. You look at all of their draft picks.
Right.
Jalen Ramsey won more games in 3 years at Telvin Smith won more games in 3 years or 4 years at FSU than he did the entire Gus Bradley tenure.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, he won 14 games as, I believe, a junior. Gus Bradley won 14 games as a head coach.
Yeah, total. You know, during his tenure, sure.
So, guys are sick of losing. Like, they are prepped for winning, and they've just had to deal with this.
But Mike, this is very much the way the Buccaneers were a few years ago. And then they drafted Jameis Winston, who, again, had come off a one-loss season, had the loss against Oregon. In the playoffs the year before, it went undefeated. So what, I think he was 26-1 in his college career or something like that. He gets to Tampa and goes 6-10 in his first year. And that was completely foreign to Jameis Winston and some of these other players that they also drafted. But the turnaround for the Buccaneers started with Jameis Winston, which is the quarterback. Can you draft a defensive player? Can a Jalen Ramsey be that catalyst? And because Blake Bortles is not a popular guy in this town right now. Talk a little bit about that, and we will get into some more Buccaneer talk, but while we have a guest, I like to pick their brains on their teams as well.
So Blake is a guy who's extremely uneven. He'll have flashes of brilliance, and then he'll make massive blunders. It's been that way throughout training camp this year. He was never considered a big practice player over the last 2 years.
I kind of super hate that phrase.
Right,
apply. And I hear it all the time. Like, right. Oh, he's not a practice. Shut up. Like, it's practice for a reason. Right. I know some guys show up in game time and play a little bit better for whatever reason. Sometimes it's good reason, sometimes it's not. But, like, I always thought the word, he just doesn't practice well, is so weird to me. Anyways,
so,
go on.
So he's led the league in turnover since being a starting quarterback the last 3 years. He's also second in interceptions behind Phillip Rivers. They have won, let me count. So his rookie year, they won 3 games. Then they won 5 games. Right? Yeah, 5 games and then 3. Right. So 11 games. He's won 11 games. He also has 11 pick sixes.
Wow.
During that time. So you're looking at a guy who doesn't have a lot of positive momentum heading into the season. But he did go out to California. He worked with Adam Diado, who's a throwing expert, Tom House, all those guys.
But he throws
one of those,
the
is
ball.
He one of those YouTube coaches?
No, he's the guy that worked with Tom Brady and Carson Wentz and Tim Tebow.
But he can sling the ball as good as anybody. He's got a good arm. I mean, I remember the Buccaneers came here a couple years ago. Jacksonville came to Tampa in a regular season game. And, it was a shootout between the two teams. The Buccaneers ended up winning. But I thought to myself, watching him from the press box that day, I was like, man, this guy's really got a future in this league. Because the year before that, his rookie season, I happened to watch the worst NFL football game I ever saw. It was a Thursday night game in Jacksonville against Tennessee. I think it was Zach Mettenberg, or whatever his name was.
Mettenberger, yeah.
Starting against a rookie, Blake Bortles. And that might have been Blake's first start in that game. It was dreadful. But then the next year I saw him, throw for 300 yards and what a receiving core he has with Hurd and Robinson and a tight end and Lewis. And I thought, man, this team is on the upswing here. So he can throw the ball, but is his problem from the shoulders up? Is it attitude? Because if you watched Hard Knocks last night, again, it's things that we've seen with Jameis Winston. We know the leader that he is and the fact that he hates to lose. He wants to win every preseason game. it doesn't appear to me that Blake Bortles has that same MO as Jameis Winston when it comes to that passion.
I would say he's a lot more mellow than what we've seen from Jameis. He is a guy, remember, he is someone who grew up in Oviedo, went to school in Orlando, and now is in Jacksonville. He's not a guy that's traveled around and really had a lot of perspective and experience.
Well, let's be honest. Jameis grew up in Bessemer and went to Tallahassee before coming to Tampa.
Right.
He's not the most worldly guy either.
Well, no, I wouldn't say worldly, but he's had experiences. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, you hear about the way he grew up, the things that molded him.
And the fact that he was successful in college and had the pressure of winning a national championship and going to the playoffs next year and winning a Heisman, plus obviously the off-the-field adversity that he had.
Right, exactly. So he's a mellow guy. He's not... He's really great. He's a lovely person. Like, he, you know, he'll answer tough questions. He's good about that.
Does he still have that super hot model girlfriend?
No, they broke up like almost immediately after he got drafted. Why? I understand.
Oh, who broke? Obviously, he broke up.
Yeah, he did. But
still, a foolish mistake. I'm surprised Trevor hasn't been all over that one.
Decision making. Can't trust it.
Yeah. So.
That's a great point. That's when the Jaguars should have cut their losses. Wait, you broke up with her. Your decision making is poor. We're going to go ahead and cut you. We know you haven't played a game yet, but you're a first round draft pick. But we're going to cut you.
So with him, though, it is decision making. It's accuracy. He's always been a sub 60% thrower. You can't do that long term in the NFL.
Is that because he loves to sling? I mean, to me, again, there's going some back to that game, he likes to throw. He likes to throw the ball as far down the field. It doesn't tend to take a lot of the checkdowns and things like that. Is that something that you think Doug Marrone and this offensive staff is going to work on with this year? Just take what you can get?
Certainly. If you watch the first preseason game, he was limited to 5 throws. Dump off to a running back, dump off to a running back, 5-yard hitch to a tight end, a drop by Rashad Green, your FSU alum, and then a throw out of bounds when nobody was open. So he's going to take what I think they want to turn him more into a West Coast quarterback.
I wish he would have hit the mascot in the head like in Varsity Blues.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That mascot you guys have, not you, I know you don't work for the team, but I was sitting in the stands to try and get practice video, and that big cat thing, whatever he is, I guess
Jackson DeVille.
Jaguar, yeah, comes up and starts slapping me on the back and wants to take pictures with me. I'm like, dude, I'm with the media here. I don't need a Muppet. I'm not in Gainesville. Where there's Muppet mascots. Sorry, I just had to throw a shot at Trev there, but
it's not a shot.
All right. Let's get back to this week
in
practice.
Best mascot in the world.
Again, Monday clearly won by the Jaguars, in my opinion. They just seem like the hungrier team, and they're you know, here's the deal though. Let me ask you this, Mike. Let's go. Sorry, I want to get to the Buccaneers, but I've got so many questions here because it's interesting to me. Is this team? And here's a gamble Doug Marrone takes by being that hard-ass old-school coach, right? You can be that way, Greg Schiano, but you better see some results pretty quick or the team's going to say, screw you.
Yeah.
But right now, is this team slowly buying into what Doug says?
Definitely. I've talked to a couple of veterans who have said, you know, as much as Coughlin has been involved, he has let Doug Marrone be a head coach. And I think that that's positive. A lot of people think he's a really good head coach. They like what they saw from his 2-game stint as an interim head coach. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is a man that made Syracuse relevant for 3 years. Also had the best record of a Buffalo Bills head coach in the last decade. Obviously, those circumstances didn't work out.
Right.
I think he gets a little bit too much of a bad rap for what happened. I mean, an ownership change, whatever.
Sure.
But he's a guy that's no nonsense. And I think the anti-Gus is exactly what this team needs. They've done everything they can to either show that Gus was the problem, or clearly this thing, the well's just, you know, poisoned.
Right. All right. Now, going back to the practices, some of the things that you saw, Trevor, give me your take on what you saw yesterday from the Buccaneers, the good and the bad, the ugly. All of that stuff. Just run over those things real quick.
Okay, so I was only there for Tuesday's practice, but I definitely noticed what you said early on, and I don't know if this is just because it's the way the Bucs are running their practice or what, but Cutter said after Monday, I read that he said that, like, he didn't like his energy. He didn't like the energy from the team. And then we're 30 minutes into practice yesterday, and the Bucs are still stretching. And the Jaguars are into, like, their second individual position drills.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, this is a drastically different practice that's going on here. Then, obviously, you had, you know, the the heat, the competition, you know, two franchises that have been losing a lot, and we get a couple scrums there, which are pretty entertaining. But in terms of actual progressive things that happened, Ryan Smith got a big welcome to starting at cornerback moment when they were running one-on-ones, where he absolutely got cooked by Allen Hurns, that Mike actually got on video. Vernon played pretty well. He had a what should have been pick against D.D. Westbrook. But
you know what I liked about that, and when we talked about this after practice yesterday, Vernon didn't have a great practice. Vernon, in fact, we asked him after practice what it was that he wanted to work on in these practices, and he says, you know, keeping the deep ball from getting over my head, which he didn't do a good job
on. No, Allen Robinson beat him at least three times over the top.
You know, but there was also a couple routes where he was beaten underneath on. But what I liked is he came back and, you know, competed and got super aggressive. And on that play you're talking about, we've got it up in yesterday's practice report from Tuesday, the video of it, actually from two different angles, where he, you know, very physical with the receiver, undercuts the route, gets his hands on it, should have picked it off. But you know what? If you can do that, they'll take a pass breakup all day long in that situation. We know he can intercept the ball. We saw him do it against the Bengals.
Yeah, it was almost kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I'll just say from my standpoint, I've kind of said it and put it in the practice report Monday. You know, I was a little surprised that the Jaguars came out with the tempo and the energy that they did. But again, I think they have a little bit to prove.
And I think so too.
Being in front of their home fans. And let's just say this. No offense, Mike. Again, I don't know why I keep saying that, because you don't work for the Jaguars. You just cover them. We were spoiled in Tampa. And the fans are spoiled in Tampa for training camp. You guys are trying to cook your fans, literally on aluminum
no
bleachers.
No shade
out there.
At all.
I mean, I just and I don't understand how it's hotter in Jacksonville than it is in Tampa, but I believe that it was. I mean, it was really, really steamy. Maybe because it's close to the water, but I mean, Tampa's relatively the same distance from the water as well. So I don't know. It was just really, really hot. And you know, but you also see the amount of fans. I don't know what they say, but there was probably less than 1,000 fans in attendance, whereas you know, there's probably 3,000 at Buccaneers practices. But again, you know what? It takes time to build. The Buccaneers, you know, at times were sparsely attended open practices and things like that. But we're pretty spoiled in Tampa, Trevor. We have to admit that. The media workroom from where the practice fields are was, what was that, like a 7-mile walk? It was a long way.
Not quite.
Well, that's under the Coughlin era. We used to be able to walk in the rubber hallways. We were not allowed to do that.
Oh. Yeah, I noticed in the media room where last year, again, that's why on Monday I didn't even pay attention. I just walked through the hallways. There was two big signs, do not enter, do not enter. So you had to walk all the way around the outside of the stadium. But anyway, Buccaneers media room is literally right behind the field.
I wanted to ask Mike about this because Bucs fans, and we've talked about this plenty in the offseason, the Jaguars have a talented defensive line. Like, they have a lot of talent on the defensive line. How do you think the Bucs offensive line looked against them, specifically Donovan Smith? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought Donovan held his own. He had one go against Yannick Ngakoue where Yannick just blew by him. But Ngakoue is a speed rusher, and for me, at least watching Donovan Smith when he was coming out, didn't handle speed all that well.
Yeah, right.
He can handle power.
No, that's his thing.
Right. He can handle power. Like, had Fowler gone up against him, he would have stonewalled him. You know, hashtag DeMar Dotson. But, you know, it was one of those things where I thought Donovan held his own.
Okay. And another thing that I noticed is the first little scuffle involved Donovan Smith, Yannick, and then wasn't it Mike Evans and who else was it?
So Malik went over to the offensive line and started talking his garbage. And then,
is he a big trash talker?
Yeah, he's actually probably the best trash talker I've ever covered.
Wow, okay. So that's what set it off.
And I covered Jared Odrick and I covered Jalen Ramsey. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think Malik is a guy, again, who's been to a Super Bowl, who's had a winning legacy so far.
Sure.
And he wants to see some fight out of his guys. He is the free. 2 weeks ago, Cam Robinson was getting beat like a drum. This rookie, right?
Sure.
And they're heckling the crap out of him. That's Malik. Malik is your answer to Chris Baker. Really, that's what
okay.
he is.
Okay. Because Bucks fans got to see what, when this happened in real time, we kind of live tweeted that, hey, Chris Baker is giving a lot of the kickers crap when they're trying to kick, trying to get in their head. And then we got to see that on Hard Knocks last night of what we were talking about then. So that's kind of the same thing you're saying?
Yeah. He's probably a mix between Gerald McCoy and Chris Baker.
Okay. So when that little scrum happened, Mike Evans got involved, and I felt like, okay, I'm not going to lie here. For the first 2 weeks of practice, Mike Evans has kind of been not going 100%. There are routes that he should have run more crisp. There are passes that he dropped that he shouldn't have dropped that are just like, come on, man, you're Mike Evans. You'll just like, it's simple, getting two hands on it, balls dropping on the ground. And this is in practice I'm talking about. And
practice.
When we were watching that
the
other day.
We're talking about
practice? Yes. When we watched that the other day where they got into that fight and Mike Evans kind of got into somebody's face, I did not see him drop a single ball in any drill after that. And it's like Mike was like trying to show. It's like he immediately clicked into focus and became like the Mike Evans that we thought he would be every time he can. So I don't know. I just wanted to note that from practice that I did see that from Mike Evans.
And I was absolutely blown away by Mike Evans. Like, blown away. And I cover Allen Robinson. So it's,
Allen Robinson is good too.
Yeah, so you know, yeah. I mean,
he's very good.
There was, I followed Mike Evans yesterday, and there was one pass breakup on him, and it was Charles Gaines, and it's because the ball was too low. On a fade.
Other than that, yeah. Pretty perfect all day.
He was perfect. That kid's special.
You want to talk about Hard Knocks?
Yeah, let's talk about Hard Knocks real quick. I don't, you know, we could talk a little bit about the game coming up on Thursday night, but what are we going to say? The starters are going to play into the second quarter.
That's what Coach said.
Maybe the whole first half, that'll be good to see.
Beckwith's going to get the start at Sam.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting because everybody knows I've had my concerns about that. You can go read the cover 3, which is out right now, and I kind of explained that a little bit more about what that means and all that.
But one thing I wanted to point out, though, that I did notice from the Buccaneers, Brent Grimes probably not going to play this preseason with that split on his leg. If you watched Hard Knocks on Tuesday night, you saw what we're talking about. Yeah, pretty gruesome injury. But I don't know if you noticed, Trevor, he was out on the field with Mike Smith the
whole
time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was standing next to him.
Hanging around and learning and coaching up guys as other plays. You know, he would talk to the cornerbacks, even the safeties a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He was asking Mike. He even was jawing with the officials a little bit. Not jawing. I think he was asking, you know, why wasn't that a penalty and
right,
things like that.
Right.
I'll say this about Brent Grimes. Last year I wasn't – I don't know how to put this. I'm not knocking the guy. I just wasn't overly impressed with his practice habits. This year, the guy looks completely different. I mean, he's doing drills between drills. He's always moving, or he was before this injury, on the sideline. He's very involved. I mean, this guy, yeah, I think he's as on a mission as he's ever been in his career. He understands that career. He thinks he can play a few more years, and he probably can. But he wants to get back to the playoffs. He wants to be, get a chance to win a Super Bowl. So, I just thought that was pretty impressive from Brent Grimes, watching him, in the middle of practice yesterday, working with Coach Smith and the defensive backs coaches and things like that. So that was pretty cool to see. So anyway, no matter what you think of Miko, I find her entertaining personally. I follow her on Twitter. She has not blocked me. She has blocked Peter Report, but she has not put two and two together.
Miko's
and
cool
I've talked
me.
To her after
She's
practice.
Her, yeah.
It's funny, when you talk to her in person, she's nothing like the persona that you get on Twitter. Now, that's not to say that if I wouldn't say something to piss her off, she couldn't turn into that person immediately.
Right, no, but people just think that she's like a raging woman.
Yeah, she's
all
walking
the time.
Around just screaming and yelling. She's,
yeah.
She's a normal mom,
yeah,
and,
she's cool.
and wife.
Miko's cool.
She makes amazing birthday cakes, too.
Hey, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean.
When you're calling out the head of the Dolphins. And,
anyway. Hard Knocks last night. I like the first episode a little bit better, maybe because it was the very first one. But I was thinking about this, though. How anticlimactic is it going to be for Bucks fans to watch Hard Knocks next year when it's not their team? I mean, I'm already thinking, I don't even know, it doesn't matter who it is, are you going to be as interested in it? Obviously, of course not. I thought it was a good episode, don't get me wrong. I love the show, and I love how they present the show. The first episode to me was just exciting because I think it was the first one, but it did get into the football aspect of things, including the Roberto Aguayo thing. No matter how bad you hated Roberto Aguayo, and trust me, there was a lot of Buccaneer fans that were very happy to see him get cut. Man, when you see it happen, when you look at the emotion in the guy's eyes, and when you hear him say, I let this team down, I let you and Jason down, talking to Dirk Cutter, That was tough to see. And we know it happens because we've seen another Hard Knocks. But when it's a guy, Trevor, that we cover and we talk to on a daily basis and you see a guy go through that, that's not easy. And there's going to be a lot more of these on that final episode when they've got to get the roster down to 53.
Yeah, I thought kind of all the way around they handled it really well. I mean Hard Knocks does a great job showing what they need to show, but just... You know, the second they bring Roberto into the room, he said, I'm not gonna beat around the bush here. Like, we're releasing you. And it was kind of, you know, I think it was a Jason Light saying, like, hey, we had high hopes for you, but didn't work out. We still believe in you, but you know as much as... I think it was as much of a you know as much as we know that you can't stay on this team.
Right, right, right.
And I think Roberto realized that, too, and I thought he handled it pretty well.
11 of 11 at Bears practice yesterday, I read.
No, that was... who's the other kid? Connor Barth.
No, it was Roberto, according to a Bears reporter.
Was
yes.
it?
Yes.
I thought it was Connor Barth.
No, he was the Roberto didn't kick on Monday at all.
Oh, okay.
And then yesterday he kicked, and supposedly he was 11-11. Look, as
11 kicks from 20 yards.
Yeah,
nice.
He made 11 straight extra points from the old yardage marker.
That's good. It's a better percentage than he had here.
Coming from a dad of a son who's a kicker who's going to get his first varsity start this Friday night.
Alan Cross a kicker now?
No, my other son, Douglas.
Okay, sorry. He looks like Alan Cross.
I'm a little sensitive and impartial to kickers because I see how difficult it is. Because kickers are really out there on an island. If Jameis throws an interception, he can come back next drive and throw a touchdown pass to win the game and everybody's happy. Kickers... It's not like that. I mean, Roberto, had he stayed on this team and had that been a regular season game, the Buccaneers were trying to win and trying to kick that field goal inside 2 minutes to try and get an onside kick, so on and so forth. He would have had to have waited 7 days for an opportunity to redeem himself. And really, in sports, I mean, other than maybe golf, I mean, you the next night or the next couple nights, whether it's hockey or baseball or basketball, you get that opportunity to redeem yourself. Kickers, it's tough, man. But what I'm saying is I think the best thing in the world for Roberto was to get cut by this team.
Yes,
and to 100%. Go somewhere else without 100%. The expectations, without the pressure of being that second round kick, and without being just
running Connor Barth out
job.
Of a job again.
Again, yeah. Connor's going to run Connor out of a job.
Need some
again.
Familiarity in there, you know.
You know, I'm pulling for Roberto. He's a great kid. But look, I don't feel that sorry for him because, you know, he's got a hell of a paycheck.
He couldn't do his job.
You know, if Scott wants to fire me and offer me $1 million severance package, I think I'll survive.
Well, as an outside guy, can I offer a
no.
little bit?
No.
No.
All right. So moving on to Hard. All right. What?
Leave the Jags guy out.
So when I used to cover the Eagles, they drafted a kicker named Alex Henry.
Where did he go to school?
Nebraska. And he was the most accurate kicker in college history before Aguayo.
Right.
He's drafted in the fourth round. He was set to replace David Akers, who is a local legend in Philadelphia. He was the
Do you
most
have a burger named after him?
The Aker Burgers?
I don't know. I'm just asking. No, he's a sure local he legend. I don't know. I'm just asking a question.
He probably has the keys to the streets, even though the streets don't actually have locks. I don't really understand those lyrics. Anyway, I got another $1 million idea for you guys after the podcast, by the way. You don't want to give it away.
$10 idea, but go on.
But, So, yeah, Henry was extremely inconsistent. He was out of the league in 3 years.
Never to be heard from again?
Yeah, never to be heard from again. And you know what? Some guys, I feel like the pressure does get to them. It's tough being a kid. I mean, you, Brian yeah. Anger, I
oh,
covered...
Oh, tell us the Mike Tomlin story.
Yeah, so Mike Tomlin...
He told me this yesterday, yeah, and, so Mike, and after this, like,
so
my
Mike
whole world
Tomlin
was open.
Was at FSU's pro day. I was there to cover Jalen, because I knew that the Jaguars right. had interest. And... Tomlin would go up, and I want to be as fair as I can because it was 2 years ago and I've had a few concussions, so I want to make sure I'm remembering this properly. Tomlin would go up to Aguayo when he was attempting a kick and say miss, or he'd mess with him, and mm-hmm. and he missed a couple of kicks. It was at least two, I want to say three. And
where he would like run up to Aguayo before the kick,
yeah,
like out of nowhere, look at him, and then just say miss.
To that extent, yeah, I don't know. I'm
and then Aguayo missed.
Yeah, yeah, he got in his head. I saw him miss kicks.
I don't really
understand what the phrase
wish
was.
I would have known that story 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean it was
because my entire outlook on Aguayo would have changed.
I didn't think he had a great pro day at all, and I saw reports that he had a good one, but I remember at least two misses. And so, for me, Aguayo, you were exactly right. Some guys need a fresh change. Look at Brian Anger. Brian Anger, I was here for his last year in Jacksonville, and he seemed miserable on a daily basis. I've talked to him the last two times you guys have come for joint practices. He seems elated to be in Tampa. Like, elated. Like, he just is giddy. Well, he's out there spearfishing for lobster.
They have the perfect special teams thing.
Which he picked up in Jacksonville
thing.
Last year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to say that it probably was my influence.
You know, I remember last year when I was here for the practices and I was sitting in the stands and they were doing punting drills and they were making fun of some of the Jags fans were making fun of Brian Anger saying, oh, good riddance, you know, because apparently they drafted a punter or something like that. So so anyway, and all he did last year was, you know, one of the league leaders and made an alternate to the Pro Bowl. I think he should have made the Pro Bowl. He just was phenomenal last year. So. And I don't know how the Jaguars punter ended up doing last year. Maybe he did just as well, and it worked out for both sides pretty well. But anyway, all right, the game is Thursday night. We'll do another podcast this weekend because there's practices Saturday and Sunday at One Buccaneer Place. So we'll kind of review the game. I don't think we need to do a whole lot of preview of the game. Fans are going to take what they want to see out of the game. You know, a couple things real quick. How's Beckwith going to perform? Didn't play well. You know, Dirk actually singled him out earlier this week, you know, saying, you know, he played okay. But we saw on Hard Knocks last night, Mike Smith, you know, 51 with the missed tackle.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not making this up.
No.
I'm not being overly hard on him.
Right.
I'm just telling you what I'm watching.
Yep.
Justin Evans, again, I'm interested to see how much playing time he gets. Because he got a lot of playing time last game.
He's going to get a lot of playing time.
And
he needs it.
The thing is that they put him at a position that he wasn't comfortable with. And not one that he's not going to play. They put him at strong safety, basically. They had Justin Evans play more towards the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
To basically ensure that he would get tackling practice.
Yes, get involved
practice.
In the tackles, sure.
When in reality, you know, that's a J.J. Wilcox thing. But they're trying to get Justin Evans better at it.
Right.
So... I'm interested to see if they will do that again, if they will try to do that again. Obviously, Nick Folk, see how he does in the game. And then...
scary thing is right now, and Dirk brought this up in the game, in Hard Knocks
last night.
How
bad the backup offensive line is?
Well, that. But the backup quarterback. I mean, they can't afford to get Ryan Fitzpatrick hurt. You know, you can't afford to get your starter hurt, but... Imagine if Fitzpatrick went down. I mean, this team would be royally screwed. Now,
Steph-o.
We still don't know the extent of Griffin's injury. I will say it was good to see him out on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if they were planning on giving him some sort of injury settlement release deal, he wouldn't have traveled to Jacksonville, in my opinion. He wouldn't have been out on the field with his teammates. Of course, he wasn't dressed. Also, didn't notice some big shoulder harness and big packs of ice. So, you know, he's probably going to miss the preseason, but... it doesn't look like it's going to be a long-term thing. Unfortunately, though, you're going to go into the season with – I say unfortunately. Unfortunately for Ryan Griffin, you're going to go into the season with Fitzpatrick probably as that number two guy.
Yeah, and it's – the reason why you can add the word unfortunate in there is because Ryan Griffin looked like he was going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, and so now you're settling for the guy that wasn't playing as good.
Right.
So.
Right. And also the guy you paid $3 million guaranteed to come here too. So.
I suppose if you have to have it one way, I guess that's the way to have it.
Yep. All right, we will be back this weekend with another podcast. Make sure you tell your friends about this. Make sure to download, subscribe, all of those things. Share with your friends and family. Really don't have anything crazy coming up. Make sure to check out Trevor's Cover 3. Make sure to go to PeterReport.com and check out all of the stories, the recaps of practices, the MVPs, the instant reaction to Hard Knocks, the Monday mailbag, a new Fab 5 on Friday. A lot of good things on PeterReport.com. We need you to go and click on the website often. And don't just do it once a day, man. We get new stuff. I know that in years past, you know, one or two articles maybe. We're putting up three or four or five things sometimes during the day. Oh, let's do promote this.
Yes.
Saturday.
Yes.
Brew Bus on Florida Avenue.
Yeah.
Get together. Myself, Scott, Trevor will be there. First 25 that come in.
This is right after practice.
Right after
practice. There's an open practice on Saturday.
And it's
open
a little bit
camp.
Later. I think it starts at 9:30
or 9:45.
Goes to like 11:30 or something. So
yeah.
Brew Bus has a nice food menu too. We've eaten there before. Mm-hmm. They're a great Peter Report sponsor. But the first 25 Peter Report readers that come up and find Scott Reynolds and say, actually, give him a hug. Let's not tell him this because he won't listen to the podcast. Just give him like a huge bear man hug.
Oh my
god.
If
you do that,
Scott
will buy you the beer. The first beer's on him. That's legit. You don't have to hug him, but I think it would be really funny if you do. Yeah, I would like it if like two guys like bear sandwiched him, like Oreo cookied him. You know what I mean? Crunchy on the outside, creamy in the middle.
He's gonna be so thrown off.
And I'll buy your second beer if you kiss him on the cheek. How about that?
Don't tell people that.
Okay, I won't do that. I won't. Don't kiss Scott. But anyway, definitely go find Scott.
You're trying to get that severance package. Is what you're trying to do over here.
I'm pretty sure it's not gonna be $1 million severance package. But you can go to pureport.com. You can get all the details from the story. On the Brew Bus event this Saturday. Brew Bus is just right down the street from One Buccaneer Place. Tons of great craft beers, locally brewed. They've got their brewery there. Probably take you on a little tour if you want to check it out. Tremendous sponsor, Pewter Report. Definitely go check out Brew Bus. Come say hi to us. And again, the first 25 that hug Scott Reynolds will get a free beer. That's a fact. So anyway, for Scott Reynolds, who's not here, for Trevor Sikkema, who is here, and for Mike Kay, who slipped out because he had to do an interview.
He's big time. We had to squeeze him in.
Well, you know, those TV people. You could tell he's a TV guy because he had no idea how to, like, use the mic for the podcast or anything, you know. So if you don't really hear his voice, it's because he was leaning back on the couch.
He's just a relaxed dude.
Yeah, he's a pretty relaxed guy, but real knowledgeable guy. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Tell us what you think. Let us know. Share. All of that good stuff. We'll be back later this week with another podcast reviewing the Bucks-Jags game. And until then, we will see you on the Pewter Nation podcast.